All right, I'm a little late in this recording. This was posted 2 days ago on Sermon Audio. Listen to me, sermonaudio.com. But I still want to address it. I hope I'm not so late that it doesn't get downloaded. But the title just got my attention, and I should have done it the day I saw it. Churches go less formal to make people comfortable. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Is that really our objective, to go less formal to make people comfortable? Now, let's be clear. I'm not really that concerned about formality. That's not the issue that I'm looking at. If a person is comfortable being less formal, that's their choice. I am not. I think that there's something special about the Lord's Day. I think there's something special about going and worshiping the Lord on His day. I don't think that I should roll out of bed with my underarms stinking, my breath nasty, my hair uncombed, and stumble into the house of the Lord. But that is just who I am, and I'm not here to judge others that, for whatever reason, don't feel it's necessary to brush their teeth or run a comb through their hair before they come to church or whatever, whether you wear a tie or not. Those aren't the issues. But the idea that churches go less formal to make people comfortable is troublesome to me, because I would suggest to you unequivocally that the Christ did not die for people to be more comfortable, that the objective of the church is not to make people feel more comfortable. In fact, I would submit to you that there isn't anything that Christ did as he went about his life on this earth making people more comfortable, and I'm going to give you some exceptions. Those exceptions would be that he healed the blind, made the lame to walk. Those with an issue of blood were healed. The deaf could hear. So clearly, those miraculous interventions did make people more comfortable. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, or you read these hard teachings, oftentimes the disciples walked away saying stuff like, "This was a hard saying." Christ in the made it clear that the Holy Spirit would come to convict men of their sin. So Ron Williams is the pastor of the church at the GYM in Sanford, Florida. The GYM at Sanford, Florida. As the Baptist Church's name implies, Williams Congregation meets in a gym. So that's what the GYM is. And really, quite frankly, I don't have any problems with churches in the startup stages using other facilities to get going. Williams says that the goal is to remove the stained glass barriers for people who might not be comfortable in traditional church settings. I think that all the trappings of the traditional religion can make it difficult for people to start coming. You can invite someone and they will say, "I don't have any clothes to wear." I would submit to you that you can change the environment or the culture of your congregation without having to abandon the property in order to get people to come to your church who may not have a white shirt and a tie to wear. But that's just my thought. All right, let's continue reading. To make people feel more comfortable, Williams wears jeans. In the warm Florida climate, some members wear shorts. Others wear types from the urban wear to biker gear also are welcome. Sanford native Sandy Adcox, 38, had not been in church in 18 years before she attended church at the gym last March. She hasn't missed a service since. Praise the Lord. I've never in my life felt more comfortable in a church. It's so warm and welcoming. Okay, I'm concerned. I hope that what she means by comfortable is that the people love her and she's still being challenged by the Word of God, convicted by the Holy Spirit. I'm just concerned. I'm almost anxious or nervous when I hear that, because I see the direction the body of Christ is going. I see the lack of true discipleship. I see the direction in which the gospel is being watered down, and it brings me great concern that we're taking another step. The article goes on to talk about churches that are starting tattoo parlors. All right, so when's the end? Okay, when is the end? What about handing out a beer whenever somebody walks through the door? I mean, when and where will you draw the line? Because surely there's got to be a line. And I would submit to you that we need churches meeting in buildings. And buildings that look like churches. That we don't want to drive into communities and have the landscape completely changed to where the physical structures that promote the presence of the body of Christ have been completely removed. The Bridge in Flint, Michigan, set up in a strip mall anchored by a grocery store. We do a lot of things that are really different, said Pastor Steve Bentley. Perhaps the most different, the interdenominational church recently opened a tattoo parlor. All right? So a tattoo parlor. All right? So we're going to encourage people to tattoo their bodies. Okay? Is that really the direction we want? Is that really what we believe brings more honor and glory to the cause of Christ? The church at the gym is an outlet of Sanford's Palmetto Avenue Baptist Church, which Williams describes as a contemporary service that appeals to the baby boomer generation. All right, when does appealing to a generation stop? At what end will we draw the line and say, nope, that's too much? At what end will we cease to compromise? These are the issues that must be addressed. Let's listen to this video presentation. It's only 3 minutes long, and it's part of this news article. Let me turn the volume up, and then we will listen to this presentation.
Here's the Bridge. It's about 3 years old. We're a Christian church. We're Bible-based. We call ourselves interdenominational. The church has done so many things. People have been so burned by it because they went there looking for help and got judged and condemned.
How's the best way we can show God we love Him? By loving other people.
Okay, that sound is a tattoo being applied.
We had a young gentleman that came in. He was struggling with drug addiction and was finding recovery. He found Jesus, stopped tattooing, stopped doing everything for like 6 months. And then he's like, I think I need to get back into that. And we really prayed about it and talked about it. And one of the things we do here is a business incubator. We try and help people get businesses started and get on their feet. And there's room over by our offices. We could put a tattoo parlor in. And so because of that, I thought, you know, we can take the tattooing back from what everybody wants to leave that and say it's in Satan's hands or it's evil or it's bad. I think we can claim that ground for God, and we could do something different with it.
Okay, my question is, my wife is having a problem here.
All right. All right.
My wife is having a problem with a tattoo that I had on my arm years ago.
Someone else's name but your wife's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to know about, can you do anything with that?
Oh, we could cover that up.
It's the same name, but this one is this. I mean, like I put a strip or something there.
Oh, a cross would cover that up real nice.
A cross.
Yeah.
That's the sound again of the
This is a discipleship
machine.
Tool. The number of people that now attend here because they heard of the tattoo parlor is significant. And as we do other things, as we show people that not only are we interested in your soul, we're interested in your body as well. You know, we're interested in you as a human being.
I was going to AA meetings out in the Flushing area, and I was literally at the end of my rope. I mean, I was suicidal. I just didn't want to live. Didn't want to live at all. Had no job, had no home, had no hope, had no God. And one day when I was sitting outside the meeting talking to some fellow meeting people, they were talking about tattoos, and one of them mentioned that they get all their work done by Ryan Brown. And they're like, yep, he's tattooing out of a church. And that, of course, floored me, you know? Sure, because I knew Ryan wasn't a very religious fellow either back when I knew him years ago. And I hooked up with him and found out about the Bridge. And it was here at the Bridge that I was able to complete my second step of the 12-step program, which is coming to an awareness of God. Since that time, in just this past few short months, I've become a believer. I've become a Christian. I've been baptized. My entire world has changed. I absolutely have found serenity here. And the longer I'm here, it seems like the more serenity I find.
All right, so that's the question. Where do you draw the line? And it's not my intent to judge this church. That's not why I chose to do this recording. But I would just submit to you that there has to be a line. And that we don't want people uncomfortable. Well, wait a minute. I want to be careful. We do want people uncomfortable in church. We want the Holy Spirit convicting people of their sin. And there's no way that you can be convicted of your sin and remain comfortable. That's just an impossibility. So we want the Word of God to be that which makes people uncomfortable, but we also want the church to be a place where people are comfortable. What a difficult tension we have. If we become self-righteous, pharisaical in our attitudes and in our sanctification, then clearly people will feel uncomfortable by our judgmental attitudes. If we make our primary objective the goal of making people feel comfortable, then we may be tempted at compromising on what we preach, what we sing, what we speak against. And so we must, as the church, seek to find the balance. And it's not my objective to judge this tattoo parlor, although I want to go on record and saying that I'm very uncomfortable with Christians tattooing their bodies. I am very uncomfortable with Christians tattooing their bodies. I don't believe that it brings great credit and honor to the glory of God. But I could be wrong. I'm not here to address that issue per se. I want to recognize that God works in amazing ways in the lives of people. And I'm thrilled that the man in the video who's doing the tattooing is, according to his own profession of faith, a brother in Christ. Something to think about. To what degree will we give up our structures, our steeples, our crosses? To what degree will we embrace that? To what degree will we seek to take back the culture? These are all really difficult balances and issues that are not easily, immediately dismissed if we're going to be true to the soul liberty, the priesthood of the believer, and the autonomy of the local church that we as Baptists have stood for many, many years. Thanks for listening.